So we only we're in Tes Yud Zayin and Beis. We had the last 10 lines to do. We ran out of time yesterday before Rosh Chodesh, so we'll go through it quickly. Very good, yeah.
Sadiq Bob.
Sounds like. Oh no, Adam. Okay, so we're around like 15 lines from the bottom.
We only waited.
So the Gemara on the bottom of again Yud Zayin Amud Beis, around 15 lines from the bottom, says the Gemara Asar Shulchanos. You guys see that? Mm-hmm. First two words in lines are Afilu Pasul. They're talking about Asar Shulchanos. So the Gemara says that there are 10 tables. Asa Shlomo. Shlomo made 10 Shulchanos. In addition to the Shulchan the Moshe Rabbeinu made, he made an additional 10 Shulchanos that went to the Beis Hamikdash. The Chassid, the Pasuk says, Vayas Shulchanos Asara. So he made Shlomo built 10 different tables, 5 from the right, 5 from the left. So in Toma, if you're going to say Chamisha b'darom v'chamisha b'tzafon, how were they situated? So halacha was that the Shulchan was at the northern part of the Beis Hamikdash. That's where the Shulchan was. So if you're going to say that the 5 on the right, 5 on the left meant that 5 were in the south and 5 were in the north of the Shulchan, v'halo ein ha-shulchan kasher elul b'tzafon. But the halacha is that Shulchan is only kosher when it's in the north. So if you say that the Evnai, you have 11 Shulchanos now, one of Moshe and 10 of Shlomo, so some of them are going to be the south, some will be in the north, and the halacha is that the Shulchan has to be in the north to be kosher. So that can't be the halacha. Shenemar, how do you know that Shulchan is kosher only b'tzafon? Shenemar, v'esa Shulchan titein al tzela tzafon, has to be placed in the Shulchan. So ma tamer lomer chamisha miyamin chamisha mismo. What does it mean, 5 in the right, 5 in the left that Shlomo built? So there are 5 on the right side, which meant the eastern side of the Shulchan of Moshe, and the 5 on the left side, the western side of Moshe. Afa Pekin, despite the fact, the only one that had the Lechem Panim on was that of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was not on that of Shlomo Melch's Shulchan, just sat there empty. Shenemar es haShulchan asher alav Lechem HaPanim. The Shulchan that had the Lechem HaPanim, there is just one Shulchan that had it. So again, according to this Ma'an Damar, the northern part of the Beis HaMikdash, let's say this is, we'll do it from your perspective. So, east, west, and north, south. So you come into the Beis HaMikdash this way. Is that right?
If this is the Kodesh HaKodashim, if this is the Heichal, north is always the
Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, I'm doing it from your perspective. So that would be the east, west, north, south. So you enter into the Beis HaMikdash this way. You enter to the Heichal. So the Shulchan was on the northern side near me, and the menorah was on the southern side. So the Shulchan was in the center here, and then there Moshe Rabbeinu had the Lechem upon him, and then you had 5 on each side built by Shlomo Melech, just built there to be empty. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Bei Rabbi Yehuda argues that Omer al Kulan Hayim Masader, all 11 Shulchanos actually had a Lechem upon him. Shneimar es haShulchanos v'aleim Lechem upon him. On all the Shulchanos had Lechem upon him.
That means that they put in each one.
Sometimes as well.
That's what sound pashas is. That's what it sounded like. Just as an aside, interesting lumdus. I don't want to get into it too much, but the Shulchan, the Lechem upon him, the Shulchan. How much is the Lechem Panim part of the Shulchan? There's an interesting mahalach that's built through a number of Rishonim that the Shulchan only is a Chaloshem Shulchan when the Lechem Panim are actually on them. If there was a case where the Lechem Panim were not on the Shulchan loses its status of a Kli. Okay, so the Gemara says, now Tani, the quote of Braisa related to Shulchanos, Mizrach u'Marav hayunisunim divrei Rebbe. They're placed east to west, the way I just presented it to you. In the center was the Shulchan, and then 5 on each side going east to west. That's according to Rebbe. But Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Tzafon v'Dorom. They're actually north to south. So in which case, there'd be a Shulchan in the center, and then 5 on north of it, 5 south of it. So Man de'Amar Mizrach u'Marav, the one that says goes east to west, Nicha Kula ruin the shares. All 11 of them are now able to be used as shares because they're all in the north. We said before that the Shulchan to be kosher has to be in the north. So now they're all just along this northern wall, they're all kosher. It turns out is one of the last Shulchans all the way in the southern side of the Beis HaMikdash. And the menorah also, as we're about to see also, he made 10 additional menorahs. So if you have the same thing, that menorah is going to be from south to north, you're going to have a menorah in the north and a Shulchan in the south. They're all 10, all 11 of them will not be roi for Kli Sharis. So that's a nafkamina between how they're situated. Mm-hmm. Now Gemara brings a brisa related to Shulchanos as well. V'hatani, doesn't the Braisa say, Hal Shulchan haya nosen mechatzi bayis v'lifnim. The Shulchan was placed halfway through the Heichal. The Heichal, in the Mishkan at least, or even the base of Migdash, I think, was 10 amos wide. So it was placed in the center, 5 amos in was where the Shulchan was placed. Mashuch min hakosel beis amos u'mechza, but to the northern part of the base of Migdash, of the Heichal, 2.5 amos, beis amos mechza klapi atzafon, 2.5 amos north, right off of the northern wall. And the menorah was on the other end, by the south, kinegdo, mamash across from the shulchan on the south, bedarom mizbeach, and that's darom, fine. And the mizbeach was in the center, mizbeach azav hayanosim be'emsa, between the menorah and the shulchan, cholik as beis mechza v'lefnim, it's divided kind of in half, right in the center, mashuch kima klapi chos, but it was slightly towards the azara, a little bit at. So let's say we said here was the eastern gate.
Here, there's a picture.
Okay, so I'll show it this way, though. Right, so this is the base, we'll make it come to life. This is the base of Migdash. So here's the eastern gate. So you come inside, here's the massive mizbeach that we do all the karbanos. Then you go into the Heichal. Heichal on the south was going to be the menorah, the north was the shulchan, and the mizbeach haktoros, the smaller mizbeach, was in the center, but slightly pushed out towards the Azara. This way, the Shulchan, and based on the Pasuk, Nochach al Pnei HaMenorah, the Shulchan and the Menorah have to have some type of like dialogue, if you will, with each other. So Mizbeach is in the center, but slightly off to the side. So that's the way the Beis HaMikdash and Mishkan was constructed, or at least the Kalim. Says the Gemara now, Chutz v'kulon hayu nasan mishlish habayis v'lifnim eser. All the Kalim were placed a third from the Beis HaMikdash inside. So if you do the math, ends up being a third of the entire Beis HaMikdash was where, like, from over here, the whole thing is, what, 20 amos? They do the math here. This is 40 amos. This is 20 amos. This is placed right in the center.
This is 30.
Right.
From here to here.
Right. This is 30.
Yeah.
This is 20.
This is 20.
Right.
And this is 20.
Right. Exactly.
This is 40.
So it's placed a third. The whole thing's 60. So it's placed a third in from the entire, 60 amos was the entire length. It was placed 20 amos in, one third in to the Beis HaMikdash, into the Mishkan.
Right, it's into the mizbeach was put exactly in the middle of the chat of the non kodesh hakodashim.
Exactly the heichal.
So the heichal, and then since that the shulchan was put, is because the whole thing is 30. So from the picture, it seems that it was exactly at 25, not the middle. Is that what it means?
No. What it means is as follows. Let's say here's our large base of Migdash coming to life. So we have 40 amos of the heichal, and then 20 amos of the kodesh hakodashim. So when looking at the 40 amos of the Heichal, so the menorah and shulchan was placed halfway through at the 20 amos part.
Right.
Because you split it in half, the 40 amos in half. So, but when looking at the entire length of the Beis HaMikdash, which is 60 amos, it ends up being a third,
right.
As opposed to a half, depending how and relative to what.
It seems that it's 30.
No, if you look at the picture, where the shulchan is and where the menorah is, it's not really drawn to scale.
Forget about 20. Forget about the kodesh kodashim. This
is a little confusing. No, but Ricky,
it seems as the shulchan is at 30th amma, which is exactly in the middle of both the kodesh kodashim.
Oh, that's what you're saying. I see.
Yeah.
So if you look at the overall thing, so it's 30 amos in really.
Right.
So it's 10 amos deep from looking at the
if you take both together, if you take the 60 amos, it seems that the from east and the menorah are in the middle of the 60
of the total building.
Yeah.
And if you take the 40 amos, it's 10 amos away from the kodesh kodashim.
I see.
Okay. Okay, so then the Gemara says further. Eser menoros, now, asa Shlomo. He made 10 menoros as well, in addition to the 10 shulchanos, 10 menoros. Shenemar, bayas es menoras hazav, eser kimishpato, v'yitein beheicha he chamisha miyamin v'chamisha mismol. Okay, that's a possible way. Is it Divya Yamim, I think?
Yes.
I gave two shirim in my life on Divya Yamim. They give a nachshin, young Israel and Cedars. So one of the shir I gave happened to learn this parak about the 10 shulchanos. What?
Eat that up there. They love
nach. So I want to give a shir on these 10 shulchanos. That's about all I know on Divya Yamim. So the Gemara says, in Tamar, if you're going to say, b'chamesh b'tzafon b'chamesh b'darom, the situated north to south, Hallo Ainam Norah Kshira El Bedarum. We said that the menorah is only kosher if it's in the south. Shinemar Ves HaMenorah Nocha HaShulchan Ayer HaMishkan Teiman. It has to be in the southern end. So it can't be a line from south to north, because then most of the menorahs are going to be puzzle because they're in the north and they're supposed to be in the south. So Mat HaMalomer Chamesh Miyamim Nechamesh Mismol. What does it mean? Five in the right, five in the left. Ela Chamesh Miyamim Minorasel Shemoshe VeChamesh Mismolom. There were five on the right side of the menorah of Moshe Ben's menorah, and five on the left side. So they're all situated on the southern and going a line across to the east and to the west, but they're all in the south, therefore they're all kosher. Afal pikein, despite the fact that they all were theoretically kosher, lo haya mavir ela shel Moshe bavad. The only one they actually lit. The size, was it, how is 2.5 amos high or something? 2.5, I don't remember. To look in Pesukim. How high?
What was 2.5?
Because if you go back to the picture,
oh, how wide it is, probably.
So to put 5 here and 5 here, you want to have place to 5
maybe,
in there.
Maybe they put it like this.
No, it says you cannot.
There's a machlok is how menorah is placed.
The menorah. So if you put.
Oh, no, because it was like, what, the lights went from south to the north.
Machlokas.
There was a machlok.
Whether it went this way or this way. So I'm not sure how wide it is.
So according to the one that says here, it has to be according to the Mandel articles like this.
The Gemara Menachos, I think, actually asks your question about the size.
To be in the south side.
Place east to west.
That's what it says. Yeah.
East to west. Machlokas, actually, how it was.
Yeah,
no, they're east to west. Hamish, fine. But how are they this way or are they this way?
Hamish,
which way do you light? No, it's okay, but the question is the menorah like
no,
this?
I'm saying,
is
it.
Like
right.
The menorah is like this because it's need to place the Shulchan.
There's Machlokas, how it was.
I decide like that.
But I do think the Gemara Menachos.
I don't want to argue with you.
Fine. It says the Gemara now. Shenamar, bringing. How do we know again? Lo haya afa bikein. Lo haya mavir el shel Moshe bavad. The only one they would light would be Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah, the one in the center. Shenamar umenoras hazav v'neirosel levayer bereb ba'erev. It says menoras, the one golden menorah was lit, not all them. Come as long Rabbi Yosi again. Bereb Yehuda Amar al kulon haya mavir. Actually, all 11 menorahs they would light. Shenamar ves hamenoros v'neirosem levaram. All the menorahs they would light. Kimishbat lefnei hadvir zav sagur. So that pasuk tells me that all the menorahs were lit.
That's also in Divrei Yamin.
Right, I assume all the stuff is Divrei Yamin, right?
This is Sham.
Okay, it says the Gemara now. Va'parach va'neros va'makachim, the flowers and the candle holders and the different kalim needed for the menorah zavhu mikal zavonhein. They were gold and they finished all the gold, I think. Mikal Zav, they complete like Vayachulu, they've completed all the gold, there's no gold left, I think. Kilu Zahavu Shamosha, that all the gold that Moshe Rabbeinu had, I think other type of gears of Shlomo Melch, all the gold was used up to make all the different parts needed for the menorah, maybe even for the Shulchan as well. I think that's what it's saying here, right? Right.
All the gold was depleted for this use.
Okay. So it says the Gemara now. Lost place for a second here. Tani Rav Yehuda B'Shem Asi Haya Shlomo Notel Elaf Kikari Zav. Shlomo took 1,000, what did they say, kikar zav, what's the measurement of kikar? Just a kikar, whatever, 1,000 pounds, let's say, of gold. U'machnisin l'kor, he put into the oven, v'motin ad shehu ma'amid al achas, and after all the gold, I guess, melted, he just had one kikar left, that's what it sounds like. L'kaim ashenamar to m'kaim, what's written in the pasuk, kikar zav tahar osa osa. The pasuk says in what, Baloscha, this is actually in Kisisa, I think, made Tetzavi rather, that there was Kikar Zav Tahor. There was just one Kikar. So it took Shlomo 1,000 Kikaros of Kikarm of gold to make one Kikar Zav Tahor. Okay. Says the Brisa, Tanya Amar Rabbi Yosi Bei Rabbi Yehuda Ma'is B'Minor Zav She'asa Moshe B'Minbar V'Hayisa Yisera Dina.
I don't understand what it is. He refined the gold. Is that what it is? Extra refinery. Extra refinery. Yeah. Write 14 and 15. Read
14 and 15. Okay, so then says the Gemara. Gemara asks, Tanya Amar Rabbi Yosi Bei Rabbi Yehuda Ma'isa B'Menorah Zav She'asa Moshe B'Minbar. The story was, there was a story about the golden menorah of Moshe Rabbeinu V'Hayisa Yisera Dinar Zav. They found out after making, melding the menorah, there was one leftover dinar of gold. Hichnisu L'Kor Shmonim Pam. He put it into the fire 80 times. V'lo HaChasar Klum. It didn't lose any. It stayed strong. It didn't get refined, I guess. V'yos Adelo Yakum Abrera Have a Chasar Sagin Mindukayim Abrera Lo Chasar Klum. So what does that mean?
Kol od shelo nitzraf hazav kol tzorucho v'lo zukak v'nisa zav tahu.
If you're taking impure gold, it goes down. But if the gold is already very poor, the very pure, then it stays the same amount.
Ah, so that's how you read it. But yes, it's true. Adul Yakum Abrure, if it doesn't come to be barer, to be clear, pure gold,
right.
So then Havachas is talking, it'll lose.
It's pure gold.
But, right. Min Dukaim Abrure, but if it's already pure gold, then Lo Chasakum, then it won't lose anymore. Okay. You're an expert in gold, right? So, apparently the different levels you could refine the gold. Okay, so the way you get it naturally from the mountains is not how it is.
It is fine gold.
What you find in the mountains is refined already?
Yeah, fine, 99.99%.
So what type of gold do you have that's not refined?
They're mixing it in order to make it cheaper. Yeah.
It's the other way around. Hashem created it pure. We make it.
14 karat, 18 karat, 10 karat, 12 karat, whatever.
Okay.
They're playing a lot of games.
A lot of games. Okay. Says the Gemara. New Mishnah now.
They tried to trick me with my own gold.
That's the mission. Shlosha shofar hayu b'mikdash. There are 13 shofars, 13 tzedakah boxes in the base of Mikdash. The cost of a lamb, and these are here are the list of all 13. Taklin chadasim, which are old shkalim, the new ones, right? Chadash, the new shkalim. Taklin atikin, old shkalim. Kinim, the different things needed for the different birds brought for the zavos and stuff. Gozle ola. People with the steel, we have to bring an ola. We'll see what all these things mean. Eitzim, Livona, Zav, Lekaparas, that's 7. And then Shishil, Nadava. Then there are another 6, totaling 13 for Nadava. So what were the functions of each of these? So it says the Mishnah, Taklin Chadasin, the Nushkalim, Shebechol Shana Vashana. Every year there's an obligation to pay Machatz HaShekel. That would go to the Taklin Chadasin, the Nushkalim for that year. What's Vatikin? What's Shkalim, the Tikin, the old ones? Mishlo Hevi Eshtakid, the person who didn't give Machatzis a shekel the previous year, Shoka L'Shana Haba, he gives a shekel for the new year, but he puts it in the old funds. Okay? And then Kinim, Hain Torim, what were Kinim? They were, you had to give funds for Torim, the different birds, right? And Gozle Ola, Hain Bnei Yona, that money was used for purchasing Bnei Yona, doves. Kulan Olos, all those funds were actually brought to be Olos. Any funds in those things, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda.
Kulan is the Kinin and Gozle Ola.
Right, both of them, exactly. Yeah. Both Gozle, the monies in the Torin and the Bnei Yona were both going to be used for Olos. Okay, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Chacham Omrim, Kinum, when it came to Kinum, Echad Chadas Ve'echad Le'ola. Because halacha is when a zav or a zava has to bring one of these kinim as a karbam, one of them has to go as a chatas, one of them has to go to an ola. So what are the people bringing funds for here? Second here. So again, these are cases where a person would make a nadava. They make it made a nadava. I want to give money for Bnei Yona. I want to give money for Torin, that type of nedava they want to make. So they would put them. They would call these funds the kinim because the kinim would always they would always use bnei yo, Torin rather these types of birds for the kinim. So it wasn't when a person had to bring a basket of birds for himself to be metaher, he'd actually have to bring one chatas and one ola. This time, a case where a person wanted to make a nedava of Torin, so they called the baskets kinim, but they weren't really used for kinim. They just called kinim because it shared the same animal. Same thing with the Gozle Ola, the same din, that you're supposed to bring a Bnei Yona. So a person wanted to make a Nadava, I want to bring Bnei Yona. So they put in the basket which they called the Gozle Ola, even wasn't really a Gozle Ola, it's really a Nadava I was making, but I wanted to bring a Bnei Yona. So they called the Gozle Ola since they shared the same type of animal for the carbon. Now, Chacham comes along and say, no, the shofar used for the kin was actually Echad Chadas v'Echad Ola. One of them was brought as a Chadas, one of them was brought as an Ola. And the Gozei Ola, that money and those funds were Kulan Olos. All of those were brought as Olos. And the Gemara is going to explain the Machlokas here. Now let's say a person says, Ha'omer, Harei Alai Eitzim. The person says, I'm taking upon myself to donate wood to the base of Megdash. Lo Yifchos Mishnei Giz Igzirin. He can't bring any less than 2 pieces of wood because that was the minimum amount of wood a person would normally, to set up a maracha, to set up one of the bonfires on top of his bech, had to be at least shnei gzirim. So therefore, when you say, I'm taking upon myself eitzim, it means 2 gzirim. Let's say a person says, I'm going to want to make an adava to give Lavona, the frankincense, they say, right? So lo yivchos mi komets, you have to bring at least a komets. A komets is, you take for almost a fist, like your 3 fingers. That amount in the 3 fingers, that's the amount of Lavona you have to donate to the base of Migdash. Person wants to donate Zahav, gold. Well, Yivchos mi dinar Zahav. He has to give at least a dinar worth of gold. Now, what was the function of the Shisha l'Nedava? What were those 6 extra funds of Nedava? So the Gemara explains, Nedava mahayu osin ba. What would they do with these Nedavos? Lochin ba olos habaz. They would buy olos, additional olos to be makriv on the base of Mizbeach. What were the halachas with these olos? Habasar l'shem, the basar would be completely go l'shem to Hashemayim, get burnt in the Mizbeach, and the oros l'kohanim zen, the skins would go to the Kohanim. So zen medjish darash yehoyad the Kohen Gadol, yehoyad the Kohen Gadol would make the following drasha. Asham hu, ashum ashem l'ashem. So pasuk. Right, okay. So what's with the pasuk here? So he says it seems to be difficult. On one hand, the pasuk says that it's an asham. And asham, the din is that the Kohanim get to eat the asham. But then it says asham l'ashem, goes to Hashem. So who gets to eat it? Does Hashem eat it, goes to the Mizbeach, or do the Kohanim eat it like a normal asham? So it says the drush is as follows. Zeklal, this is the rule. Kol shehu bab mishbishim chatas, umishim asham, it's something that's brought for the purpose of a chatas. Or brought for the purpose of Asham, Yokach Bem Olos. He should buy Olos. So any leftover money of a Chatas, leftover money of an Asham, goes to in Ola, it goes to the Hashem. But there's a difference. Habasar l'Hashem only the Basar goes to Hashem, Vahaoros l'Kohanim, but the skin is left over for the Kohanim to eat. This is the drasha he used to make. Again, it's an asham, but it's an asham l'ashem, and so it has some type of middle approach, whereby, again, the Kohanim get the skin, and the rest of it goes to the Mizbeach. V'omer, and the pasuk, the Gemara says further, Kesef asham, the kesef chatas, lo yuva beis Hashem l'Kohanim yihyu. So the money of the Asham, the money of the Chatas, so you can't take it literally to be that the money left over of the Chatas, the money left over of the Asham goes to the Kohanim, because the Kohanim don't get to have Hekdesh money. And you can't say that you're going to bring a Chatas and Asham from this, so it must be the way he's understanding it. What does it mean that the money goes to the Kohanim? It means that the money you use to buy an Ola, and the Ola is on the Mizbeach for Hashem, and what goes to the Kohanim? The skin goes to the Kohanim. So this is, again, just a second possibility that seems to be a steer, whether Hashem gets it, whether the Kohanim get it. And then they end up saying that, no, they both get a share in this when it comes to leftover funds.
In general, the skin of the Ola goes to the Kohanim always, or it goes to is that what it meant?
In general, the skin of the Ola goes, I don't think the skin of the Ola goes to the Kohanim by an Ola.
The whole thing is burnt, right?
I think by an Ola. No, we do, no. We skin it. We skin the Ola, right? We do.
I think all the animals
are skinned. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. Okay, says the Gemara now. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, lo haya shofar shakinim yushalayim. Rabbi Yehuda held they did not have this stucker box of kinim in Yushalayim. Because of the terobos, there might be a mix-up. What's a mix-up? The concern shema tomos achas v'nim sedemei chatalos meisas meruvas bahen. So they're concerned as follows. If you have a fund where a woman would give money, I need to bring a basket, a woman just gave birth, so she has to bring two birds. So she puts money in the funds, and the Kohanim go take out money, they buy a chatas, and they buy an ola bird, and they bring it. What happens is, let's say she gives the money, and she dies before they actually bring it. So that means that she has to bring a chatas. The halach of a chatas, shemesa balea, a chatas, money that the owner died, you can't bring the chatas. Now, in the funds here, you have money that's mixed up with a woman who died who can't bring a chatas. So you can't take that money. Let's say you pull her money out. You don't know whose is whose. You pull her money out, you bring a chatas. That's us to bring a chatas of someone who's the owner had died. So therefore, he said, there are never any baskets, never any funds used for collecting the money of Kenim. So Gemara says, how is that true? V'ha taner, doesn't the Brisa teach us? Ha'isha sh'amra, a woman who says, Harei alai kain, I have to take upon myself a basket, these two birds. Mivia demei kain, she brings the money of it, v'nosu b'shofar, she places it in these funds, these boxes. V'o chalas b'kadshim, she could go ahead and put it in and eat kadshim later on. V'eino choshesh Hashem nitzasa b'hem. She shouldn't be concerned that the Kohanim are going to be lazy, and they may not bring the funds. Of course they're going to bring the funds. Kohanim has a reason. Very not Kohen. At the same time, the Kohen shouldn't be Choshe, Shema Yitzdemei Chatas Meses Murvas Ben. So too, the Kohanim shouldn't be concerned that the woman may have died. Everyone's able to assume. Again, the woman drops off the money. She could assume the Kohanim are going to take it and bring the Karbanos. She could go eat, and the Kohanim could bring the Karbanos. They don't have to assume that she had died, and everything's okay. So why is Behuda so concerned? They said, there can't be any of these shofros of Kenim. A woman can never drop money off to a for the Kohanim to bring her a chatas and oaf, because she might die. So explains the Gemara as follows. Ki kamrin, when we said that Rabbi Yehuda was choshesh, that was bechata shem mesa balem vada. If we know for sure they died. So what happens is, let's say the vada died. Let's say she drops off the money in the box, and then she dies. She vada dies. And now what do you do? You're stuck with all the money, the funds that everybody brought. So, because that might happen, he's not concerned that every single time you have to be concerned. When we don't know any better, we assume that the woman's still alive. It's just in a circumstance where she happens to die before the carbon's brought, then there's a whole tarobus of money, and you can't do anything with the money. You have to throw it out.
So what do they gain by having it outside?
By having it outside, what do you mean having
it
outside?
Because it means that it didn't get the kedusha they brought until they brought in Yerushalayim. I mean, it was still, if somebody died, it was still mixed up with things
I guess there's less time. I guess you'd actually bring it to the Beis Mikdash and she'd be standing there. Maybe there wouldn't be any funds at all. Maybe you just have to buy things directly as opposed to putting it into a larger fund.
Really?
Yeah.
Also, what it says is there was no shofar at all, or it wasn't in Yerushalayim?
Yeah, I think there's no shofar at all, he said.
So what is this last line mean? Last line says, the Isha that says, Hareli Cain, maybe you had to make him even a snail of a shofar. What shofar are we talking about? Shofar Kinin. So there was a shofar Kinin. Or was it?
Really, it seems that there's really two possibilities, right? That it's either that that Rav Yehuda would say that that there is no such thing, you can't do it because of this problem with women, or the other tzad seems to be that they could do it, but they would be bizarres to it, that the Kohen would do it right away. That's right. Is that where we're at? There's two options. It's either that Rav Yehuda would hold that you can't do it because this is a problem, right?
You can't do it because of a problem, yeah.
Because there's a problem that potentially you would be giving a chadas when the woman passed away. Or option B is that, no, you're not worried that there would be a delay and the kohen would go right away.
Right. But the question is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who was concerned that if a woman were to die, there's mixed up funds. So what's the shofar that's being referred to in the Brice here?
It's the same shofar kinan, but they're not concerned. Well, the makrivim, they're not concerned. They consider as everybody's alive. Even if somebody died. They're not going into it in order not to be mechate all the rest of the money. Because it's not allowed.
Where do we say that, though?
The article say it.
What's the root of that? Where do they get that from? Because according to what we're learning, that's not the case.
That's a good okay. Davar ze, that they said, mo'il al pi haklal shel breira. It has an advantage if you go by klal brera and brera, there's a choice or there's a choice. Dahainu klomar kviat ma'amado, in order to set up a mamad, at least a mamad, status, stage, level, shel davar lemafra, in advance of something, al pi ma sheyareim olav basof, by what will happen to him at the end. במקרה נדון כאן, and in this specific case, הפרשת ארבע זוזים אלו תברר למפרע שהם למסע מות של אותו שמת. Oh, so this is kind of some kind of a frasha, I missed that, of ארבע זוזים, will separate totally and for good that these ארבע זוזים are actually the maot of the person that died. And like that, you save the rest of the shofar.
In terms of that question, though, I'm not sure. It sounds like, again, according to Yehuda, there is no shofar. I'm not sure how he'd understand this brisa here. Sifta also says that, according to Yehuda, there was no such shofar of it. So I don't have an answer.
Okay, because it says, Shirebi mashma she'af hu, Rabbi Yehuda modeh ledin ze, which din, ve'en ha'kohen choshesh shemadmei chatot mitot mu'uvrot bahen. Ketzad im ken, how come, im ken, efshar lomar shetamo shirimbo shelo ayu shofarot. How can he, if he admit to that tam, that en ha'kohen choshesh, how can he say that?
That's the question, what's in the answer though?
Ki kamrinan, ma she'amarnu shirimbo, היינו בחטאות שמתו ועליהן בוודאי.
This is Shkalim. You don't always get a clear answer.
No, meaning you know for sure in advance.
But Rabbi Yehuda says that there were no kinim.
Too much Hebrew.
There were no shofrot at all in Yerushalayim. That's the hope.
Shofrot. Right. So we're Yehuda Shelo Asu Klal Shofrot.
Bichamat Chashash Zeh. Which Chashash?
But at the end of the day, Shelo Asu Klal Shofar Kinyan, there was no such shofar for
Kinyan. But כל הזמן שלא ידעו לנו שמת אחת מן הנשים שהניחו מאוד בשופר, אף רבי יהודה מאוד שאין לך שושים היה כן. לפיכך, גם לרבי יהודה, אם נראה שהניחו מאוד לכנחו משופר של עולות נר, ודאי, היו הכל מקרבים טוב.
So basically saying there was no shofar, but if a woman put funds into another shofar accidentally, then we could just assume everything's okay. That's what comes. It's a different, the wrong fund she put, the wrong shofar she put in.
All right.
Okay, says the Gemara now. Where are we?
V'yamrina,
okay. V'yamrina, if you're going to say Nivor Dalid Zuzay, V'nishtay B'nahara, V'idach Lishtri, maybe take four out. We don't know what to take any four out and just chuck it in the river. Says the Gemara, no, it doesn't work. Brayer doesn't work according to Behuda. Because Ha'amrina Ba'alma, Behuda less they Brayer. So you can't say whichever four I pick out, let this be hers. Behuda doesn't hold a Brayer. Hers are somewhere in there. It's impossible to figure it out, so we're stuck. And that's what Behuda says. There is no special shofar for the kine, for the king. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Bun, Amar Rabbi Ba, Bar Mamel, Ba'i, he asks, Amar, Harei ala eight. The person says, I am taking upon myself to bring an eight. It's not eight sim. The Mishnah said eight sim. What if I say eight? So maybe Gizar Echon. All he has to do is bring one log. Amar Rabbi Lazer, Masnisa Amar Kain, Shezeh Karbun Fini Atma, Vizek Karbim Fini Atma. So he says, I'll bring your raya from the Mishnah that each individual one is a independent carbon. So you can bring, if I say 1/8, that's enough. How do we know this? So Kahatanina and Haman, it says in the Mishnah, I think in Yuma, right? We're getting ready for Yuma, yeah, right in the beginning. Shnaim Yodam, Shnei Gizir Eitim. So the halacha is that it talks about dividing up the Seder Hayom. Number of Kohanim would bring this part and this part. So two different Kohanim would, one Kohen would bring two different Gizrei Eitzim, I think.
No, Rabbi, you had it right the first time, I think.
Yeah?
Two Kohanim would hold in their hands two blocks of wood.
But only two, you only need two, not four. Shnaim biyadam, shnei Gizrei Eitzim.
Not two blocks. I know, meaning one
each.
Yeah.
Each one had two?
No, two Kohanim would hold in hand the two blocks.
Okay,
of wood, meaning
fine.
One in each hand.
So they'd each take back. One. So we say, Karbon, the Rabbah says that Eitzim. So what are we saying here? So we see that the Gizrei Eitzim is considered a Karbon.
Yeah, each
gizir
considered one.
Since each one is separate.
Okay, fine. So here we see that when a person says, I'm taking upon myself to bring an eight, that works. That's considered that's a shear of a carbon. Because you see, by each coin brings a 1/8, one log, that's a carbon. Okay. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar Ovyan, the thickness of these logs is Amma.
I think the whole idea is that they didn't know if when they said they had to bring two, it's because he used the plural tense or because two is the minimum. Clarifying that the reason that when he says eight sim is two is not because the minimum is two, it's because he said he used plural, I think.
I see what you're saying.
Why?
No, isn't that what's trying to tell us? From the Lashon of the Gemara.
Where is the master for the plural concept?
Because he says hamevi et. Now, if somebody says etz and he doesn't say eight sim, he only brings one. So we thought that the minimum was two, maybe because the minimum of two is a korban, but it seems that he has to bring two because he used the word 18 and not eight.
But the original lesson was eight.
No, the Mishnah says 18.
Mishnah says 18.
What? The Brisa says 8?
The Brisa says 18. Alai 18.
With two lines before that, we said.
It says, Shanino ba Mishnah, Shima Mar, Alai 18, Loifchot Mishnah.
I was looking at Rios.
Could be. I'm not sure. It could be. Okay. Yeah, I'm not getting much from here in my Misifta. Because next time around, I'm going to have to get an art school for Shkolm.
Rabbi, no, so I think it's that Rabbi Yosef ben Rabbi Bun, or Rabbi Ba, I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
Right.
So he was the one that originally said eight, it's a single lashon, right? So he could just bring one. And like Ricky was saying, Rabbi Laazar, he was saying in this Mishnah that because it says eight in plural, it doesn't, lav dafka, it has to be one. It could be. With two people,
has
one
to be
each
two because it says 18. But if we would have said etz, it's one instead of
two. Okay. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi Amar Ovyon, the thickness of these logs Amma had to be an Amma thick, Ba'amma sochekes, which is a little bit larger than Amma, not right, not an exact amma. The arkon, the length of it had to be ba'amma geduma. That's an exact amma. So almost like a box. Well, not a box, a length. Yeah, length, the depth, I guess. The right. Okay, so an amma long and an amma wide. You know, since it's a circle, it's deep and everything deep and wide at the same time. It's almost like a box. But the amma long is a little bit more than an amma, and the amma wide and deep is exactly an amma. Comes along Rabbi Choni, he argues, b'shem Rabbi Ami, kimin tortani. So what do they have, they have an English translation? It's like scales.
Scale hands.
Scale hands.
This is small.
That'd be equal.
Small, it's a small media.
That'd be the same as a small media.
It's a very small media. Small size.
No, it says here, according to this, it says they're both an amma. No, while the first Rabbi Shimon Levi said one's a larger amma, one's a smaller amma, Rabbi Choni apparently holds they're both exactly an amma. So it's a perfect square. It's like scales, like completely weighted. This is saying no. It's
21, read 21.
Okay. So then the Gemara explains, Amma Rabbi Yishmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Lefish lo haya makum hamaracha, ela amma al amma. Since there's only enough room for an amma of the maracha on the mizbeach, lefikach lo haya ba el amma of geduma. Therefore, you have to have an exact amma. That's all he had room for. Tana Kain, we have a brisa that tells us, amma hayisod, the mizbeach had a yisod, like a little thing going on the outside. That was an amma wide. An amma sobev, there's an amma on top of the base, on top of the mizbeach, which went around it as well. And then there's Amar Karko, which where the Kohanim walked on top of the Mizbeach. There's another Amma. And Amar Karnos, and each of the corners were an Amma. And Amma Maracha, the area that we're able to put things on top, were only an Amma by Amma wide. So we see from this Brisa, there's only room for an Amma. That's why you had to have the logs could only be an Amma by Amma as well. And now says the Gemara, quoting from her. Yeah, sure.
I always wonder this. When you say, when the Gemara is saying that the logs itself are an amma also, right? So where did the logs go? The logs went into those areas, right?
On top of the mizbeach. They light the fire, and those were that's where the karbanos were being burnt.
Okay, so just a simple question. If you had something that was an amma, and you had something else that was an amma, how does the amma go inside the amma if it's exactly the same size?
They'd probably place them on top of each other, I guess.
But wouldn't go inside.
No, let's go inside. This is the top of the mizbeach here. If I place a log here and let's say a log there. And I'd light the fire and then I'd have a nice...
But how would it hold in place? I would think that it would have to be less than an amma in order to properly stay in place.
Which I'm not sure how exactly it stays in place.
The surface was a problem.
You can put that on. What you're saying is that there is no maracha, it's just one square on top of the other. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I'm just saying from a logistics standpoint, if something is the same size as what it's going into, then it can't go into it, so to speak, like pipes, so to speak.
It's on top of it.
No, you've layered.
No, right.
Like this book on top of the book.
According to the drawing, there is three amos. It's one in the center, and then you have one amo on each side.
Yeah.
Right, but the center one, the center is an amma space right in the middle, and the quantum walk around it.
Right, so it does. It wasn't like something that you couldn't fit because there was space around it. So that they wanted one amma so that the quantum should be able to walk around. So if it moves a little bit outside, it wasn't the end of the world. I think
it wasn't what?
I'm saying the quantum. If it was like a quarter of an inch outside, it didn't. It wasn't like an enclosed area.
It wasn't boxed in.
Uh-huh. It was just that they had to leave space for the coin to be able to walk
like
around.
Like the grates on your oven.
Yeah.
What if you had wood on the grates of your oven? What if the wood was a little bit off of the side? So it would slide. It would be an inch off the top.
Off the burn.
The truth is, the Gemara in Yuma talks about there was a number of marachos on top of the mizbeach. Some say there were two, three, or even four different marachos on top.
But on the big one.
Are we talking about, this is talking about it's the Ketores only?
About Mizbeach and Moshe. That was only...
Oh, the Moshe Ben. Ah, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Which makes no sense because you can't make a marach. You can just put one block.
Right.
So it's not marach. It's what? Just one piece
I
of wood.
I guess it depends how you define what a marach is. Marach is just wood.
Right. Because also it's hard to understand how it burned because when you have a block of wood, how do you light it?
Well, if it's a very dry piece of wood.
Is this the one the Ketores is the one that Hashem lit, right?
No, I thought it was the Mizbeach Chitzon, I thought.
The one that came down?
I think so, yeah.
Hello,
we have time, we could. Sure.
Okay. Now the Gemara says, Levona lo yifchos mikomets. So Mishnah said a person donates, he wants to, he pledged a Levona, he should do no less than a komets of Levona to the on the Mizbech. So Nemar kanas kara, it says here in the context of a Levona, it says the word askara. And Nemar lahalan says later by Lechem Aponim, askara as well. Ma askara hamu lahalan, just like we mentioned askara in the context of Lechem Aponim, it's a melo komet. That's the shear of the Levona needed for Lechem Aponim is a melo komet, a full kmita. Af askara hamur kan, when a person donates, he pledges a Levona melo komet. That's the shear melo komet. That's why the Mishnah says a person pledges a Levona has to be no less than a kmita. The Gemara asks, "Imaz kara hamul lahalan." If you're going to make such a gzeir shava to lechem apanim to levona, so by lechem apanim actually says the shear shnei komtin, you need two kmitas. So af askara hamurkan. So to here, when you pledge levona shnei komtin, you should also require two kmitas. So answers the Gemara, "Amir Rabbi Ilah, klum lamdu lekomet ela miminchas chote." No, we're not learning from lechem apanim. Rather, we're learning from a different source, that of minchas chote, where a person who owes a chatas. It brings a mincha to satisfy his chiyuv of carbon chatas. So from there, it's a komet and no more. So that's the source. Minchas chote and not from lechem apanim. So says the Gemara, continues, malahal, and just like minchas chote, is komet hechaser pasul. If it's missing anything less than a melo kum, so it has to be a full kmita, anything less is pasul. Komets is as follows. They have a pile of flour or whatever it is. Yes. You use three fingers. And then you wipe the top and the bottom off, and then whatever's in here is considered a kmitza. So then the Gemara says, "Gemalahalan komitza chaser pasul." Just like by a minchas chote, if it's missing anything from the full kmitza, it's disqualified. Afkan, so too here, when someone pledges levona komitza chaser pasul, if it's missing anything, has to have a full kmitza, it will be pasul also if it's missing. Amar Rabbi Yosi, he adds further, "Milsa the Rabbi Eli Amra." So from the words of Rabbi Eli, who made this hekesh, the gzer shavat to minchas chote, we learn how misnadev levona mevi'im kumtza shel kohen. He has to bring from the komets of a kohen, I guess, and not of the komets of the individual. Because who's the one doing the kmita? When it comes to minchas chote, so I owe carbon chata, so I bring the flour. So the kmita is done by the kohen. The kohen does the kmita. So
kohen gadol sheba kohenim.
It's a משאר את הקומץ לפי כף ידו של הגדול שבה כהנים המשרתים במקדש באותו היום.
Not Kohen Gadol, but the largest Kohen.
The Kohen was biggest the largest hand on
right.
that day.
Right.
On the day that he's bringing.
Right.
So he has to check the hands.
Check the hands, whoever's bringing it, use his shear, and then he has to give that amount of kmita. So Rabbi Chizkiya, B'shem Rabbi Yirmiyah says, Afilu b'komets ha-balam. No, even the baal, he could use his own hand for the size of a kmita. It doesn't need a kohen. Okay, now the Gemara continues from the Mishnah, Zav lo yifchos. So the person says, I'm going to donate Zahav to the Beis HaMikdash, she can give no less than a dinar Zahav. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Behu shehizkir tzura. It's when the donor mentions the particular matbeh. He says, really, hare alai matbeh Zahav. I want to give a coin of gold. So when it's a coin of gold, that's why dinar Zahav. Avaim lo hizkir tzura. He doesn't mention I'm giving a coin. Then maybe afilu tzinur, he can even bring a fork, a small fork of some sort, as gold. It's only when he wants to donate a golden coin. Fine. Shisha l'nedava. In that stage of the Mishnah, it says the six other shofros were there to just collect funds for the Keitz HaMizbech. Whenever we said the Mizbech was quiet, you just take funds and just bring karbanos to make it a very active place. So Chizki Amar Kineged, why six? Kineged Shisha Bati Avos. So the way it worked was that each mishmar, there's the 24 mishmaros that I think David HaMelech instituted. Throughout the year, they each work 2 weeks. So during the week, the mishmar, the kohanim, those families would be split up into 6 days. They had the Sunday family and the Monday family and the Tuesday family. Those are split up into six families within each mishmar. So connecting those shisha bate avos, within each mishmar, they have shisha nedavim as well. So let's say Sunday people will take from the first shofar for the Keitz Mizbech. And the Monday base av would take from the second shofar for the Keitz Mizbech. That's how it worked according to Chizkiya. Bar Pidaya, Pidaya Amar, he said, connected shesh behemos, and corresponding to the six animals, because there are six different animals that were brought as karbanos. Par, Egel, Sayer, Ayal, Gadi, Vitla. So,
once again, Sitch.
Right, okay, fine. So six corresponding to those six different animals. Shmuel Amar, Kineged Shisha Karbanos, corresponding to six Karbanos, Kine zavim, kine zavos, kine yoldos, chatos, ashamos, haminchos, haminachos, asir saifa. The six types of karbanos, not six animals, but six types of karbanos, that's why he had six. And the fourth opinion is, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, al yidei shanadava meruba, riba la shofas harbor. No, because so many people wanted to pledge money to the base of Mikdash, you just need six, practically, to collect all the funds. One shofar couldn't keep them all. You needed six to really hold all these different funds.
So what is the real reason for the six? Nobody knows.
Oh, I'm saying, machlokas, whether the elav elu devil kam chayim. All true. All have meaning to it. Okay, so let's try to make it to the end of the parak, right? We have plenty of time. Okay, so it says the Gemara now. It says the pasuk so that this is classic Yerushalmi. Quotes a few words. The pasuk expects you to know what it's talking about here, thanks to the Masifs and others. So the pasuk that the Gemara says is Ksiv uchalosam hiviu l'fnei melech v'yada. So what's this pasuk talking about? So I'm told from the Masifta, the whole background, say from Malachim, which Ricky probably knows quite well, that
you got a name.
I didn't get there yet.
Okay, not Malachim yet. Okay.
Right, next year.
So there was apparently an aron, not the aron kodesh, but there was an aron, a box that they used to place silver that was in the base of Mikdash, next to the mizbeach. The question is, what was this silver that was stored in this box used for?
Well.
I'm reading outside. I'm reading the Masifta actually. What's the background here? I imagine this is probably somewhere in one of the farshim on the side as well. So there was this box, this phantom box that had silver next to the mizbeach, this treasure chest. So what was it used for? So apparently the pasuk in Melachim Beis tells us that the money there was used for the needs of the Beit HaKabayis, fixing up the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, the building. However, the pasuk in Divrei Yamim, however, that by Divrei Yamim and Melachim, the lav cars back and forth. They're parallel with a lot of differences. You have to compare the two svarim to get a real full picture. So there, in the pasuk that's quoted, Uchachalosam Havi Lufnei HaMelech V'Yehoyada, the pasuk continues to say that silver was used for klei sharis, not for the bidin base of Mikdash, for klei sharis. So machlokas and psukim, was the silver used for the upkeep of the building, or was it used for replacing klei sharis, the kalim? So answers the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman b'shem Rabbi Yehuda son Amar, shtei nedavos asa. There are two boxes, very easy. One box was next to his beach, and that was used for the upkeep of the base of Mikdash, and one of them was next to the shar base Hashem, one of the gates elsewhere, and that fund, those silver, was used for the klei sharis. The Gemara says now, the machlokas though, Tana de Rabbi Shmuel says, Nidvas achas, there's only one box. Dechsiva, vayikach yoyada hakoin aron echad, vayikov achor betalto. He placed a hole in the door of the box. Vayitain also ate some mizbech miyamin. He placed it on the right side of his mizbech. Sounds like there's simply one, rak aron echad. There were not two different boxes.
Well, where do you read the psukim again? It's inside the Gemara? Or?
Inside the Gemara, yeah. Okay, so mine is different then. No, you're reading it. No, you jumped ahead. That's why you're in the next pasuk. Yeah. Yeah. Is that there?
No.
No, okay. You're right. So my misfortune made something up, I guess. No, it's later on. It's a pasuk. Okay, my misfortune is a little bit out of order. Sorry for the confusion for those who are actually reading on the right side, which is, I think, one of us. you were probably lost there. Okay, so there's only one. Let's read the pasuk. Let's read the Yerushalmi itself, the real side. So Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, Nidava Achas, there is simply one box. Dichsiv Vayomer Hamelch Vayaseu Aron Echad Vaytineu Beheichal Beis Hashem Vayikov Chor Bedalto. The Gemara asks, Vahaksiv doesn't say elsewhere. Vayomer Hamelch Vayasu Aron Echad. Doesn't say place the box next to the Beis Hashem. Sounds like there are two different places where they put the box down. So it says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chuna Mivnei HaTimeim, because of the Timeim. What does it mean, because of the Timeim? Exactly. So initially where it was, by the Beis Hashem, a person was Tamei would touch it and contaminate the money, whatever that means. So they put it inside the Azarov next to Mizbeach, so nobody Tamei could touch it. I'm not sure what exactly, could a person Tamei really contaminate silver coins?
No. He wasn't able to come in to put money. So
yeah,
they wanted to put it inside.
They brought it outside so they could donate. Okay, that makes sense. That's the way they did.
Genius.
Yeah. Rabbi Chuna b'shem Rabbi Yosef says, "Ach lo yase beis Hashem sipos kesef mizamros v'gomer." What does that mean?
Huh.
First, they used it for the bedek abayis, and then the left. If there were any leftovers, then they'd use it for the kli sharis. So again, achol yes, the beis Hashem. If you don't need the money anymore for the beis Hashem, then sipos kesef mizamros loosei melacha. Then you'd use the money to buy kli sharis needed for the beis hamikdash. So that's how he gets out of the stira. So a few places how to deal with the stira. Hadron lach perak yud gimel shofar.
What are we doing for Siyum?
They look super.